Begin. Are you rolling? Okay, Rabbi Moshe, Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi Orlin, for inviting me once again to share some Minyanei Mikvaos with you. I guess this is going to be a one session Mikvaos thing, so we're going to try to get in Mikvaos, you know, is a whole limud, you know, on its own right, and it, but I'll try to give you some highlights to understand the basic principles of Mikvaos and the modern mikvah of today. And so everything starts with the pasuk in Chumash. So the pasuk says in Chumash, in Parsha Shmini, Ach mayan uvor mikveh mayim yetohor v'nogeya b'nivlosam yitma. So the pasuk speaks about a mayan and a bor mikveh mayim. These are two sources of water. Mayan is water from underneath the ground. You dig underneath the ground and you get a mayim. A bor mikveh mayim is you have a ditch in the ground and it rains, rainwater. So these are two sources of water. The Mayan water is from underneath the ground. Mikveh water is from the rainwater coming into a ditch into the ground. And these are the two sources of what we call a mikveh. The Mayan is a, technically it's a Mayan, not a mikveh. A Mayan is one thing, and a bor mikveh Mayim. And on both these things, the pasuk says, Yiyetor. Now, what does that mean, Yiyetor? So Rashi in Chumash has two pshatim in Rashi and Chumash on the words Yiyetor. So the first pshat in Pasuk Lamed Vav says, Amchumro ein mekablam tuma. Yeah, page one. So Yiyeh Tohor, the first pshat in Rashi, means like this. That even though water normally is mekabel tumah, right? If sheretz falls into a cup of water, so the water is mekabel tumah. So Yiyeh Tohor means, but if the water is in the state of a mikvah, meaning that it's in the ground, and it's in the state of a mikvah, it's 40 saw of water, the amount that covers the whole body of a person. So then, even if something tamei fell in, yiyeh tohor means that the water is immune from kabbalas tuma. And that's what it means. So we have two types of waters. Again, we have mayan water from underneath the ground. We have mikveh water, which is rainwater that rained into a ditch into the ground. And to both these things, the pasuk says, Yiyeh Tohor, the water is tohor. That's the first pshat. The second pshat is the yesod of mikveh in the world today. And yetar hatovel behem mitumasa. That yetar is not referring, could be also referring to the water, that's the first pshat. But yetar means the person. That is the person who immerses him or herself in the water, yetar becomes tar. So that is the source of the concept of a mikveh. That a person that's tameh, he goes into the water, into the Mayan water, or to the mikveh water, and yiyetor, he becomes tor. As opposed to the first pshat, it's referring to some tuma fell into the water, that the water is tor. But for us, Bizman Hazeh, it doesn't make so much of a difference about the water, unless you learn Hilchas Nida. We discussed if there's a kesem in the in the water. What's the story? Is the water considered a davar makabel? If a woman says, if there's water, say in the toilet bowl, and there's a kesem there, do we say, oh, that's called a kesem and a davar sheinu makabel tumah? Because lemaisa, there's a concept of a mikvah of a revius also for kalim to meim. So it could be that the water in the toilet bowl has a din of a mini mikvah. So some poskim say, hey, so that's yetar, that it's not mekabel tumah, so maybe any kesem there will be considered a kesem davar sheinu mekabel tumah. So that was a long discussion. Those that learned in the Nidah Shir know that long discussion. That's not for now. So that first day in Rashi will have relevance for that discussion of yetar, the water being tam tar, because a kesem is only a tamei midrabanan if it's on davar she mekabel tumah, but if it's ainu mekabel tumah, so that's a separate. But yet for nogel in yanenu, yetar means the person who's tovel in the mikvah, he or she is yetar, and that's the sifrei. And the next, the Sifra rather, and the next page quotes this halacha of Yatar. Ilo Amar Mikvah Mam Yatar Yachol Afil Milay Kseifel Vasa Mikvah Kiv Yatar Talmoloma Mayim Mamayim B'dei Shemayim Mamichah B'dei Shemayim. There's a mikvah is similar to a mayim. That's the B'dei Shemayim. In other words, you can't fill up barrels. Say you have a ditch of in the ground, so I want to fill it up. So the normal way you fill it up, you take barrels of water and you fill it up. No, you can't do that. It has to come natural. It rains in natural min hashamayim, and that's what a mikveh is. It's in a ditch in the ground, and that's what it is. Now, and it's bidei shamayim. In other words, you can't have what we call tfisas yad adam. Whereas you can't have a person filling up the mikvah by, first of all, any water that comes into a barrel is called mayim shuvim, and mayim shuvim is not good for a mikvah, right? That has to be, can't have, the water cannot have been in a receptacle, so if it's in a barrel. And furthermore, you can't have a person, you can't have tfisas yad adam. Above the fact that it can't be in a kli, you can't have a person directing the water, and it has to be, that's like the Sifra says, bidei shamayim, that happens by itself. So you have the pit, you dig the pit, and then it rains, and you know, and there's your mikvah. Or the other way of doing it is to dig from underneath the ground. Some communities, like in Passaic, they got their mikvah water from underneath the ground. They dug and they dug and they dug and they dug. Rabbi Hirsch told me, and they dug and they still didn't find water. And they asked the Rosh Hashiva, what should we do? And he said, keep digging. And then he gave the shear, and after the shear, they still didn't get it. And he said, what should we do? Keep digging. And they davened mincha. And then they finally, we hit water. And they got their water. And okay. Even though, technically speaking, that water isn't Mayan either, even though they're using Mayan water, because it's called a Mayan shenifsak, meaning they had to dig, you know, how many, but then they, you know, you pump it up, so then it loses the status of a Mayan, so it wouldn't be a technical Mayan. We'll see the halakas in a second. Okay. Now, besides the halacha of, basically in Jewish life today, there are the two main parts of a mikveh are for Hilchas Nida, for Tfilas Nashim, for Hilchas Nida, and for Tfilas Kalim. Kalim HaNiknim Men HaGoy. You know, people, there are men that use mikvahs also today, who are makpid, you know, especially in the Hasidic world, or makpid to go to a mikveh every day. We'll talk about that also. But the two main halachic mandates that are absolute chiyuvim are the mikveh for Anida and for Tfilas Kalim. For Kalim HaNiknim Min HaAkum. And even though, you know, usually the mikveh that a woman goes to And the Kalim Mikvah, a lot of the stores have a Kalim Mikvah. That's a good thing. If you want to be successful, what you should do is open up these appliance stores and then have a little mikvah in the back. And it'll be people will be very happy to come to you because you're a one-stop service. You provide the Kalim and you provide the mikvah. So I'm giving you some good business advice here. what's the pasuk for that? Where's that pasuk? That's a pasuk in Matos, page 3. Kol dover she yavo be'ish tavir be'ish. That's about hechsher kelim. But then the pasuk says ach b'mei nida yischato. Ach b'mei nida yischato. Which means that. So what does that mean? The may need the yischata. So again, just like everything else in Chumash, Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat lefi pshuto chitu itzela taro mitumas meis. So it means that this was by the milcham of Midian. That when Klal Yisrael won the war of Midian, so then they got all the kalim from the Midian. So the first thing they had to do is they had to kasha the kalim and they had to bring it to the mikvah. Right, so that's what this pasuk is referring to. So some of the kalim had tamei meis in it. So the first pshat in Rashi means that you have to spritz, the paraduma water on it. But then the second pshat is Rabbi Seinu Darshul 2 lines in the bottom. Shavlach shirim and iser hitam tefila l'kli matchul mei nida k'suvim kan darshul mayim haruim lipo b'hem nida. The other pshat is, no, you have to go to a mikvah. There was ach b'mei nida yischata, means what? That you have to put the kalim, any kli that you buy from an akum, that's matchas or schuchis, has to be brought to a mikvah before you use it. Right? Has to be brought to a mikvah before you use it. And that's the pasuk. The same water that a woman who's a nida would be tovelis is the same thing. But so why do we have kalim mikvahs? Why don't we just go to the regular women's mikvah and put our kalim? So many rabbanim, like Rabbi Vorhin from the West Side, was telling me they don't like that people should use the mikvahs for kalim, because you know what happens in the kalim mikvah. Put the kalim, and then you drop a knife. And you drop a, and then the woman's going to come chas v'shalom and is going to cut her foot on the knife, right? So we don't usually, even though halakhically it's the same type of, it's the same mikvah. The same din of 40 saw of mei shomim or mei mayan, we usually like to put it in two separate things. We don't like to use the woman's mikvah for kalim because people they drop glass chas v'shalom, it breaks, and then chas v'shalom a woman could God forbid put her foot into the mikvah and be a piece of broken glass there. Right, so that's what Rav Warren was saying to me. We don't like to do that. So we have two separate areas. We have a kalim mikvah, but the kalim mikvah has to be the same standard of a mikvah that a woman will use. Meaning, it either has to be mei geshamim, or what? Or mei mayim. And 40 saw of that, the amount that will, and even though you're putting in a little kli, still, you need the same shear of a mikvah that a whole adult will be tovelin. When we said before, maybe the toilet is a mini mikvah, that's for kalim tameim, which we don't have no concern with b'zman hazeh to be tovel kalim tameim because now we're not osik bataris. So then there's a concept of a mikvah of a revius that has a shem mikvah if it's meg shomim in the karka, just a revius. Just face 4 or 5 ounces, zel. That has a shame mikvah for kalim tameim, but for kalim haniknim min ha'akum. So then what? We need the regular 40 saw. So a little a little spoon is going to need that same mikveh as a human being will be tovilin. Now, so how do mikvos work? Well, so let me tell you a couple of things first. So one concept of a mikveh, you know, generally people use mikvos. So there are different communities that have mikvos. However, sometimes people go away on vacations, and so as we'll speak, there are a lot of mikvos all around the world, and in places all over, but sometimes people are away and they don't have, so there is a concept, as we said, of a mayan. So one classic example of a mayan, which is good to be aware of, is an ocean. An ocean is a mayan. An ocean is a mayan. And that's halacha in Hilchos Mikvos. I mean, it's a Mishnah. It's a whole discussion in the Mishnah in Hilchos Mikvos that yomim have the din of a mayim. So this comes up every once in a while. I'll get a shaila that somebody is going away on a vacation and they checked that they didn't find a mikveh and so a mayan, an ocean. Look on page 17 in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Aleph Sif Hei. It's based on a Mishnah, but the halacha is Kol hayamim yesh lahem din mayan, the tarbis chila. We'll see what it means with tarbis chila, but that's that all yomim. Now, again, I didn't say lake, I didn't say river, I didn't say these things, I said ocean. Okay? Because lakes and rivers have a whole different discussion. Okay? So, but an ocean is, yamim, is a din kemayim. So that's a very important halacha to know. That could be, you know, and the halacha also is that, you know, when a woman is tovelis, so she's not tovelis on top of anything. In other words, a person would think if they don't know Hilchos Mikvos, they'll take a mat and they'll put it on the bottom of the ocean and they'll tovel the mat. No, you're not allowed to be tovel on top of a kli or a mat or something like that. So she'll be tovel. She'll go to a private area, and she has to take a mitzvah lady along, because the halacha is that a person shouldn't be tovel alone anytime. And as Rabbi Vadi pointed out, the main reason is because when a person's tovel in the mikvah, they have to be totally submerged. Whereas if one strand of hair doesn't make it below the water, is not immersed in the water, it's like you did nothing. You did nothing. So therefore, that's why the practice is. We have the mikveh lady that's watching the tefillah to make sure that not even one strand of hair is above the water. Because it's not like chatzitza. See, chatzitza, there's a din that if it's only miyut, even miyut hamakbid is only a chatzitza drabanan, it's only the miyut. That's a din by chatzitza. Chatzitza means it's in the water, but something obstructing the water from getting in. So that's a din chatzitza, that's a different halacha. But the din of tefillah means you have to be submerged in the water, and if you're not submerged, you have one little strand of hair is not under the water. The whole thing is not, it's like you didn't go to the mikveh. The issacharis of nida still exists. So that's why. So even though a person is going to go, say, in an ocean to a mikveh, you still need the mikveh lady to look at her. Now, sometimes you're on this vacation and you're in some place and there's no mikveh lady. So the Noda Yehuda has his psak of the Noda Yehuda that in this mokum tzorach, the husband could be that mikveh lady. That the husband could be the person who could be that person who makes sure his wife is totally submerged under the water. Okay, so that's the. Now. Okay. If we have more time, we can speak about yomim and haros and things like that. But you should realize that there's a mikveh and a mayim. And now, the halacha is the difference between a mikveh and a mayim. If you look, say, in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnayis, is that a mikveh has to be stationary water. And a mayan could even be flowing water, like an ocean. The water's moving, right? But that's okay. In a mikveh, in other words, when it's rainwater and it's a mikveh, there's a psul of zechila. There's a psul of, if the water's flowing, if you have a crack in the mikveh and there's a leak in the mikveh, so. That could tussle the whole mikveh, even though there's still a lot of water. So you still had plenty of water, but it's leaking out. And the halacha, as we'll see, it has to be a zechila hanikeres. It has to be noticeable that it's leaking, a zechila hanikeres. So then that passes a mikveh, and that's the halacha. The Mishnah says. That a mikveh is, yeah, I'll show you in Shulchan Aruch, that a mikveh is metayr bashborim. Look on page 15. Says that Eina Isha Ola Bitumasuk Rechitza Bemerchat Safil Ola Ola Kol Meimel Sheba Olam Hadayin He Bitumasuk Chaimel Karas Achetibo Kol Gufa Bavasachas The Mei Mikveh Over Maya. It has to be Kol Gufa Bavasachas. Whereas it's not like by Heksha Kalim, you can say you have to do Hagala, so the post can say that Hagala, say the Kli can't fit in at one time, you can do half the Kli. And then put the other half of kli. By mikveh, it has to be bevasachas, and then the Shulchan Aruch says on the next page 16, the tzorach shecharitz shebo hamayim gadol yosem mishir zeh. In other words, it has to be a big charitz, so when a person goes in, the water won't come out. And then you won't have the shear of memsah. But look on base. He says, "May mayim b'tarim ap bezlochlin, may gshomim einum b'tarim ela b'ashborim." So the phrase that means that it has to be stationary, it has to be b'ashborim. Says, look at the Taz base. Peyushen kvuim v'kayomim b'bor. It has to be in a pit, in a stationary area, that it's kavua. It can't be be flowing. All together, yeah. But me mayan is metaren av bezochli. But mayan, if the water is from underneath the ground, it's mayan water, so then that could be even bezochli. So like an ocean. The ocean is, the water is, you know, it's moving, right? The ocean flows, whatever. So may mayan is metar even bezochli. But you have to realize, like I told you, like in Passaic, they got the water from underneath the ground. They got Mayan water, but their mikveh is not a Mayan, because you see, to make a Mayan, they would have to have built steps to go many feet down to get to the where they found the water. Was they dead? So what they did was they got the water and then they, you know, they pump it up. So then it's nifsak from the mokum ha-Mayan, so it doesn't have a status of Mayan. So their mikveh, Mayan, whatever you want to call it, is it didn't mikveh. They just used Mayan water. In other words, they wanted to use Mayan water instead of having to use rainwater. They preferred to use from underneath the ground, so they used that water. But it still will have the status of a mikvah, because the Mayan is at its nifsak. It's already disjoint from its place of origin of underneath the ground, and they pumped it up, you know, in a way that it didn't become a shuvim. So it's no longer going to have a status of Mayan, and then it's going to have to be bashborin. It's going to have to be stationary. Now, if you have a river, so a river is a bit more complex, because a river, you see, a river, the water's flowing. So if the water, if it's rainwater, then it'll be a problem. If it's Mayan water, so what is it? What's the Naharos? So one opinion says, well, follow the Rov. If Rov of them is a rainwater, then it's going to be a problem. If Rov of them is not, and that could change upon the season of the year of what it is. But there's one opinion that says that the Ramos brings down, that one opinion in the Gemara that says whenever a drop of rain falls in the river, that causes two drops of Mayan water to come from underneath the ground. So by definition, you're always going to have Rov Mayan water, and the Mela, all the Naharos, therefore will have a din of Mayan, and then it won't be a problem that the Nahar is flowing. So not everyone subscribes to that opinion. Because if you look in the Mechaber on page 16, he says like this. In Beis, May Mayan Mitarin Apazochlin, May Gushamim Mitarin Blashbog. Hayuzochlin Mitamayan Misarvin and Notfim Shay May Gushamim. So what if you have a mixture of water? Because the May Gushamim, they have to be stationary. The May Mayan, they could be flowing. But what if you have a mixture of May Mayan and May Gushamim? So Hare Hakol Kemayan, Mechol Dover, Rabu Hanotfim Alazochlin, Notfim a rainwater. Because if there's more rainwater than there is water from underneath the ground, then it gets a din of mikvah. Once it has a din mikvah, then it has to be bashborin. It has to be. So therefore, if you want to use a nahar, you would have to what? You'd have to fence it off. So this way, you make it stationary. You make it stationary. Because if it is more rainwater, then it has a din mikvah. Once it has a din mikvah, then it has to be stationary. But there is the other opinion that I told you, that by definition, any time rainwater falls in to the Mayan always wins. Because the Mayan will... the drop of water will cause water from underneath the ground to come out, and therefore you always get the rove. So therefore it says the Rambam Haga, hey noros lahoros lahachmir. However, next page, Chosav Yesh lahachmir. Yeah, Haval Yesh matirim litbo benaros kol hashana af b'shasa gshamim. Kapsharos hashglogim. There is an opinion that says it's okay. Rabbi Nosel Zochum Mishum Deiker Gidol Hanar Hu Mimokom Mekora. Hey Nagu Barov Mekom Mokom Shein Mikva. Ein Lumchos Biata. So he says there are coolers in, you know, Mokom real the Mokom Hatchak. But of this Rambam. So, but that's, you know, usually for us that's not a Shas Hatchak. You could get someplace else. So just to go into a Nahar. And the river could be a problem because you only have that opinion to rely on, and Mechaber rejects that opinion. He says no, like in the winter, it's clear that there's going to be snow and rain and things like that. So there's more rainwater, and yet it's flowing. So it's something that's supposed to be a mikvah that's flowing. That's possible. And the Rambam has that other opinion from the Gemara in. Gemara in Tainus. That says this idea that any time one drop falls from the bottom, it causes things to flow from the top, and it's a whole Gemara. Okay, so you have to realize that Nahoros is not the same as Yamim. That Yamim is an automatic Mayan, and Naharos is usually a mixture, and therefore, so according to that one day the Ramah will always be good, but according to other opinions, it wouldn't be good, and therefore, Naharos by definition will be Gnzochel, so it will only be good if it's Rov May Mayan. Okay. Now, so this is the. Okay. So basically, like this. And again, the mikvah water has to be, you know, stationary. There's a whole discussion in the poskim. What if, you know, there was a filter and the filter was on at the time that, you know, or you know, when they clean out the mikvah, so, which we'll discuss, they use something. Which I would compare it to like a vacuum cleaner. It sucks out the thing. So obviously, you don't have that on by the time that the person is being tovel, because there's a discussion. Okay. So let me tell you what the main issue, the challenge of the modern day mikvah. This is the challenge. You know, you have the mikvah, the gshamim, right? So a person's gonna go. Say you live in a, you know, any Jewish, heavily populated Jewish community. So basically, the heavily populated Jewish community, the mikvah is open every night of the year. Except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, those are the two nights a year that the mikvah is closed. Listen, you're not allowed to go to the mikvah on the night of Tisha B'Av and the night of Yom Kippur. Any other night of the year, in a community like in the T-Neck, Woodmere, Guigard Hill, all these big, heavily packed Brooklyn, Borough Park, always people going out of town. So then you have a mikvah in the place. So then that's a whole different story. Then, you know, they make an appointment to open the mikvah for you because they're not they don't have the same amount of people there. But so you have loads and loads of people going to the mikvah. So obviously, after a while, it's just going to be dirty. By definition, and so many people, even after one night. Of people, where the next morning, who's going to want to go into that, you know, into that mikveh anymore? So we have to make a system to clean out the mikveh. Yeah, but if you clean out the mikveh, then where's my mikveh for tomorrow? You know, you can daven a lot, but you should mashiv a ruach with a lot of kavana, but it's not going to bring you 40 saw. Now the general rule is like this: the spoons never complain. So the kelim mikveh, you just have that same 40 saw, leave it going, and you know the spoons, they won't complain. You know, you'll put the spoons in, so it's not the cleanest thing in the world. So the knives, the forks, the spoons, they'll be okay. But the women are not like the knives and the spoons and the forks. They're gonna complain, and there's gonna be a problem. So we have to have a system. We have to have a system to have constant production of new, fresh water for the women. Or else, you know, they're gonna complain, and so somebody who's totally dedicated will say, okay, I'll still go. But people who are on the fringe, will say, what do I need this for? I'm not gonna go into the dirty water. So mikvos today have to have a system where we have a constant fresh supply of water. Well, how do you do that? Because if you're going to take out the water, you're not going to have the water for tomorrow. And you're not going to get 40 saw of rain overnight. So what do you do? Okay. So we know there is a concept in halacha called hashaka. And that is brought throughout Shas, in Mishnayos, and Gemaras, in all over. You see, let me explain to you like this. You see, we assume, this is another assumption that we have in halacha, and some question this assumption, but this is mekubal in halacha, that tap water is not good for a mikveh, because tap water was contained in a water tank, which is a kli, and therefore that's mayim shuvim. So the easiest way would say, okay, turn on the tap, get fresh water, great. But the assumption that we have today in halacha is that tap water is mayim shuvim. Now you should realize that is not something that all the poskim agree to. It became the mekubal. You know, there was this rabbi in San Francisco many years ago. His name is Rabbi David Miller, not this rabbi. And he had this idea. He wrote, what is it called? The Secret of a Jew? We have like 10 copies in the library of this book. And basically, he had this idea that everyone could build a mikveh in their own home by just taking and of course, $3.50 to, you know, instead of $500,000 to build a mikveh. So you get just a couple of pieces of wood, you'll put it up, you know, the mount, and you'll put it, you'll have a faucet, you'll turn on the faucet, you'll fill it up, and there's your mikveh. So this was his idea. Now, obviously, this is not the exact. He was probably dealing, you know, with people who were on the fringe, who weren't going to go to the mikveh, weren't going to go to public places, and you know. So he had an etzah for them, and he had to assume that that tap water, it's not tap water, because basically the water meters, they're. They have mechubal karka and the things like that, and there's a whole discussion. What's this shayla of a kli that's mechubal karka? Does it still have a din kli? Does it not have a din kli? So There are poskim that discuss this, that maybe it's not shuvim, but that's not. But all of Hilchos Mikvos is based on the sod that tap water is mayim shuvim, and therefore it's no good, and we're not going to use tap water. So then, if we're not going to use tap water, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So if you take a look, on page 28 in the Mishnah, it says like this. Erev mikvos kishofer sanot ovi chalol kishtei etzvos. That there's a concept of hashaka. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look on page 31. He says like this. Nun beis. Habol arev mikvah posel o kosher im mikvah. So there's a concept like this. If you have water, rainwater, say you have a wall, and on one side of the wall there's rainwater, and one side of the wall there's shuvim, which we assume tap water is shuvim, and there's a hole in the wall, shtei etzbos, a hole, and the waters touch, so that's called hashaka. The waters touch, so now al pi din, the mayim shuvim, the tap water, has a din of mei gishama. Okay. So that, now we have, and that's then brought in the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, etc., that Hashaka converts rainwater, the tap water, into rainwater, al pi din. So now we have a great Eitzah, how to keep everyone happy. In other words, we have rainwater that either rainwater or Mayan water that we got from underneath the ground, or rainwater that collected on the roof and it goes down a pipe that's made in a way that is not a base kibul, so it's not shuvim, and it goes to the basement of the area that you're making into a mikvah, and you keep the rainwater there. You keep it there. You don't touch it. No one goes into the rainwater. It's just sitting there. The 40 saw more of rainwater just sitting there. Then you have a wall, and you have a hole in the wall, right? And every day, you'll fill up from the tap fresh water. You'll have a plug. Then you take out the plug, and then the waters will touch. And now what? You have a new, fresh for tonight's crew of people that are going to the mikvah. And the next day, you'll plug up the hole. You'll suck out last night's water, and you'll fill it up with what? With new rainwater, and now you have a new, fresh supply. And that's how you keep the system working on a regular basis of Hashaka. And that's the way, that's called the Hashaka. That's the Bor Hashaka, and now you have a fresh system.
Do you have to keep the plug open the whole night, or you could close it back up right away?
So the Mechaber Paskins, look in the Mechaber. The Mechaber Paskins, the Achash, you see where it says Kuf Yud Aleph on page 31, the Sif Nun Beis, right? You see where it says Nun Beis? Keep going down, it says Kuf Yud Aleph there? See Kuf Yud Aleph? The first word on the line is Kuf Yud Aleph. 4 or 5 lines down. You got it? And the Shulchan Aruch. No, you see it? Show it. Kuf Yud Aleph. In other words, so the Mechaber Shita is that once the waters come together, then you can plug it up again. And even when the people are going to the mikveh, the Mechaber Shita is it's okay. Because once it touched the two waters, the rainwater on one side and the tap water on the other side, they met in the hole in between, the waters touched, now they're huchshar, and now I can take the plug and put it back in, right away. In other words, all you need is that they touch one time and then plug it up. And that's it. And that's the Mechaber Shita, Tshuvas HaRosh. But look in the Shach, in Kuf Yud Beis, in the Shach. It says in the Shach, Rabbeinu Yerucham Kosov Shenestapku HaMefarshim Im Nisha HaShov Bechsheru Okeven Shenistam HaNekev Chozer L'Psuluk Betchila Beviu Eis Yosef Dachim Moshe V'tov L'Hachmir L'Chatchila. So the Tov L'Hachmir L'Chatchila became the normative psak in Halacha. That when a woman goes to the mikvah, the hole is open. In other words, we don't just plug it up right away. We keep the hole open for all the people that go into the mikveh. The hole is open, so there's an active hashaka taking place at the time of the tefillah. Because there is a shita that holds that maybe hashaka only works, holds when the hole is open. But if the hole is closed, then it goes back to being shuvim. Right, so the Mechaber Shita is no. Once it touches water, it's hukshar, and then it's okay. You can plug it up even when the women are going. But the Rabbeinu Yerucham quotes other shitas that say no. That say that it has to. Hashaka only works kol zman that it's that the hashaka is actually happening, but when. Once you plug it up, then it goes back to being shuvim. So it has to be open the whole time. But then, once the last person leaves for the night, then you could close it up, because when you're going to suck out the water after everyone leaves, so then you don't want to suck out any of the old, you know, the geshamim water on the other side. So then you plug it up, you suck out everything, and then you open the faucet. And now you have a new batch of fresh clean water. Now, in the Kalim mikveh, again, we don't have to do this because we could just have we'll actually be tovel in the Kalim, in the Megishamim. And we have that just with that one bore of Megishamim. Here we have what we call two boros. We have the bore of the Megishamim and the bore Hashaka and then the bore Tefillah. In other words, the place where the people are tovel, that's called the bor tefila, and the place where the rainwater is, that's called the bor hashaka. If you want to see a picture of it to make it even clearer, take a look. Yeah, page 43. I think so. In general, I think that's the way people do it. They keep it open. It's interesting if you notice if you go to the mikveh here in Erev Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur for the men, right? So the minhag, I believe, here in the community is when the men go to the mikveh, so the plug is in. The plug is in for the men. because they feel like for the men it's just it's a minhag, okay? So they don't have to have the chumrah of the shach for the men. And again, and we're going to see every time a human being comes in, you displace water. So you know what I'm saying? That's going to be another discussion. After a while, aren't you losing out in your original rain? But so for the men with Tovel, we can be so mech on the Ikur Hadin. You have to realize like this, that there is a concept in Halacha called a men's mikvah. What does a men's mikvah mean? A men's mikvah is basically water in the ground, but it's Mayim Shuvim. It's Mayim Shuvim. So what do you gain by it? No, so we know for Takanas Ezra, Ezra made a Takana, that any man that is a Balkari, had Zara come out of him. So Ezra made a Takana, and all the Chachamim that can't learn Torah, can't daven without going to the mikvah. So basically, we assume lahalacha that it was the takara was repealed or was a gzeirush in a tzibur yachol lamoda. So therefore, we don't have to follow that. In other words, a man was with his wife, and then he can learn Torah afterwards, even though he didn't go to the mikvah or daven afterwards. But Rishonim bring down there were some people still machmir to keep takanas Ezra. So therefore. Now, Takanas Ezra, the whole thing was his Takana. So he made that you don't need a full-fledged mikvah, but you need a tsura of a mikvah. You have to have mayim bekarka, that's stationary, that you're going in. But it can even be what? It can even be mayim shuvim. So some people say, you know, you go to a mikvah for men's mikvah, and you should be very careful to note that men's mikvah and kelim mikvah are not the same. Because Kelim Mikveh has to be a real Megisham. The only difference is that we don't have to do the Hashaka because we could suffice with just the bore of the Megishamim, because even if it gets dirty after a while, as I told you, the spoons aren't going to complain. So that's the story. Now, some poskim say that it's preferable, like Rabbi Willick said from Rav Soloveitchik and others, that it's preferable, especially at Erev Yom Kippur, when you want to have the latara, to use a real mikvah for Erev Yom Kippur, even for men, because Mayim Shuvim is not going to be metaher. In other words, it's enough. It's a matir for davening, and it's a matir for learning. But it's not a. It doesn't make you no longer balkari. You're still balkari. You just have a heter to. In other words, you can't. The halachas of tumah still on you. So therefore, it's preferable to use a mikveh that had a hashaka. So, but some communities say, but okay, we'll give the men mikveh with hashaka, but we don't have to have all the chumras, you know. In other words, so there, you know, they a lot of times they'll keep the plug in. For the, in other words, they'll have the hashaka had happened, but then they'll keep the plug in for the men. But for the woman, where the woman is a question of an issacharis, so there we want to be machmir for the Shita of the Shach, that Tov Lahachmir, that the neck of Hashaka should be unplugged, Zman Hatfila. So if you look in the picture on page 43, you'll see what it looks like. Okay, take a look. You see on page 43, you have Aleph. That Aleph is the Bor Tefila. That's where the person is, the steps going down, right? So that's where the human being is going to be. So basically what happens here, and that's where the tap water is. You see, Vav, that's the pipe that you turn on the tap water. Now we have a minhug that we don't let tap water go directly into the mikvah. Even though we're going to do Hashaka later, because we want to do first what we call a Hamshacha. That's the Ozayin. Hamshacha means we have water go on the karka before it goes into the mikveh, because there's a shita that says that even if you didn't do hashaka, but you did hamshacha, meaning that the water went on the ground for a certain distance, that takes away the din shuvim. At least, like Rav Gutman pointed out, at least maybe midaraisa. So, in other words, so at least, even if chas v'shalom, like Rav Gutman said, the hashaka wasn't good for any reason, at least you at least took away maybe a daraisa on the shuvim by doing the hamshacha. So first we have the water go down the runway, so to speak, O Zion, and then it goes into this, and then we have the rainwater coming in Dalet, in the pipe, which is not a kli, and it goes here, and it stays in by base. That's where it stays stationary. And then you have Gimel is the neck of Hashaka, and that's where the waters are going to meet. In other words, the rainwater, the pure rainwater is in bays, in that whole pool, coming out of hay, and the tap water came in from Vav through Zion into pouring in into the area where the steps are. So that's a hashaka.
Why do you need a
hashaka?
Is it coming directly into the
In other words, we want to do a hamshacha. Right, the bor hashaka is enough, but we're always afraid. Well, a kelim mikveh, as we said before, they don't need. The kelim mikveh is a whole different story, because a kelim mikveh, they're not using any. They're not using tap water.
No, I know. So that's why I think they had a trough and a hamshacha into. In other words,
Okay. It could be that they wanted it. Maybe there were a choshesh there was some kli on the roof or something like that that got that made problems or something like that. But technically speaking, when you have tap water, so at least we're trying to do hamshacha. So even if some reason, it could happen that somebody could forget chas v'sholom to unplug the plug, and then. You didn't do a hashak at all, right? If you never did even a hashak achad pa'ami, if you never unplugged the thing, and then chas v'sholom, people will be torvel, there's a whole machlokas a poskim with the shuvim, is it din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, but still. So what we do is that we don't let tap water into the mikveh even before the hashaka, until we also have a hamshacha, because there are certain shittas that say that a hamshacha also, at least as Gutman put out, midoraisa, could take away the din shuvim also. So even though we don't rely on that, but just in case, as a backup, that for some reason we messed up with the hashaka, at least we took away the din shuvim on a certain level. So we always have hamshacha before we let it in the bor tefila, and then we do the hashaka. Oh, in other words, when we pour the when we have the hay on the right, so that's probably just just like a chumrah, because maybe chveis, there was a crevice in the pipe or something like that, something that maybe could maybe have some chashash of shuvim. And therefore, even though it's not, but maybe perhaps that's why they do a hamshacha there also.
Now, what does that affect the hamshacha there? They cracked presumably before.
Yeah, so in other words, so then even if it became shov, say, from before.
I see.
Okay, so that is a bor hamshacha. Okay, so lechora, that should be good, and that's your mikveh. Again, the whole reason we need to do this is because we want, in other words, you could just have one pit in the ground, like if Shachta says, of make a shaman and suffice it, but then you'll have a dirty mikveh for a long time, and that might not be the most pleasant thing. So in other words, so halacha has this din of hashaka, so we actively use this din because we want to have more water at our disposal, more clean water at our disposal. Now, there is another way of doing it. Besides what we call here Bor HaShaka, there's another way of doing it, and that's on page 44, called Zriya. So let me explain to you what Zriya is all about. So Zriya is like this. You see, the Bor HaShaka has the two waters coming from different directions, right? You have two boros, the Bor Tefila and the Bor HaShaka, where they make shamim, and then they meet by the hole. But you know, you always have the problem that chas v'sholom you could forget to pull out the plug, and then if you do that, you didn't do a HaShaka. So there's another way of doing this whole system, and that is like this. What you do is like this. You bring rainwater. You see, oh, hay. See hay. See, hey? So that's the rainwater comes in. And it goes into the runway above and then into base. So base now is full with what? With rainwater. Right? It's full with rainwater. So now, instead of having the tap water come in from a different direction and then meet in the middle, you turn on the faucet of Gimel and it goes into the same bore where the rainwater came in afterwards. Has to be afterwards. No, the halakha is that once you have 40 saw of megashamim, then you could be marbe kol she'uvim sheba olam on top of it. So then what you do over here is first you fill it up with the megashamim. And then after the megashamim is full up, then you put the tap water on top of it, and then it what? It pours over through the hole in Zion into the Bor Tefila. So this way, there won't be any mistake, because the waters are all coming in through the same direction. It's not like, yeah, this water is coming from here, this water is coming from here, and then you have to open up the hole and they meet in the middle. No, they're all coming in from the same direction. The Mei Geshamim is there first. You know? The Mei Geshamim is there first. In other words, before you all ever open the tap, you'll have the Mei Geshamim will stay there. But then every day, you'll open up the faucet and you'll put Mayim Shuvim on top of that, the Mei Geshamim, and then it'll go into the Bor Tefila. And that's called Zriya. Like Rav Shecht explained, Zriya is like when you're planting a seed. So here, we're, like Rav Shecht explained, you're planting the Shuvim in the Megshamim, so to speak. And then it flows over. Now, the advantage of this is that you won't have any mistake that you might forget to unplug the plug. Because here, there's no other way. If it got into the Bor Tefila, it had to go through the Shamim. There's no other way. See, with a HaShaka, it comes in from two different directions, then it meets in the middle, so the challenge is you got to make sure to unplug the plug. But here, it's all coming in from the same direction. The Kshamim have to be first, and then the Shuvim, and then it flows over. So that's called a Bor Zriya. And that's, so really, in the mikvah, you could choose. You could do either HaShaka or Zriya. In our modern day mikvos, we do both. We do HaShaka and Zriya. In other words, we have one bor that's going to be HaShaka, one bor that's going to be Zriya, and then we're going to have the water go through, and we're going to have a Zriya and a HaShaka.
Is any water in the
In other words,
what? In the board tefillah, and then you turn on the zuyah, whatever.
No, it was before we're going to open the faucet to put in the tap water. The board tefillah is totally cleaned out, totally empty. In other words, we're going to plug it up, empty it out, and then every day we're going to open up the tap again. And the rainwater is the same stationary rainwater that's going to be there. And we're going to open up the faucet, and it's going to go in and into the board's field. Yeah.
Won't the
Meir
Shem eventually be completely displaced?
Oh.
You'll just have tap water?
Right. What's your name?
Jason.
So Jason asks, won't eventually, if you keep doing this, you won't have any real rainwater left after a while.
Great, so I'll be cleaner.
Yeah. So what's the answer? So the simple answer is, but so what? The tap water that went in became rainwater, I'll be dead. Because it went, it's better than Hashaka. Mamish went in. It went on top of it. So even though, but this is the point. There is a din which we assume is the Rabbanim, of called Nosam Sov and Notal Sov. Let me show you where it is. Yeah, page 38. It means like this. Say you have a mikveh, right? 40 saw. And then you put apple juice in. A saw of apple juice, and then you take out a saw of, so it's still kosher because it's bottled in the 40 saw. And say you put in one, you take out. Put in, take out. So you can keep doing that until Rove. Meaning that you have to still have 21 saw of what? Of real Mei Gesham. But after a while, if you keep doing it enough and you don't have 21 saw, then it doesn't work anymore. But this discussion, according to most Rishonim, is only by made papers. But the Maim Shuvim, about the Maim Shuvim, should not lose all the Mem Sok, Shayr, and often talk from Sok, Harris, and often Shayr, I feel also okay at all of Kosher. So the Shulchan Aruch says that by Maim Shuvim, if you put, you have 40 saw, you put in a saw, you take out a saw. Put in a saw, take out a saw. So you can do that. Why? Because you see, May Paris is not going to be huksha. It can be bottled into the water, but it's not going to be huksha. But Mayim Shuvim is totally wild huksha. So if I put my saw of Mayim Shuvim into the 40, and then I take out a saw, I put in a saw, take out a saw, put in a saw, take out a million times, in the end, I maybe have a kippa of May Shuvim. It doesn't matter because it was all converted, right? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That by May Peros, you could only do it up to Rov. As long as you have 21 of May Gishamim, even though that you have 19 of May Peros, they'll still be okay. But by May Shuvim, Ad Olam. So that's great. That answers your question. Right? So there's only one problem. Another Shach. See, we had that Shach in Kuf Yud Beis. So the other shach is Samach Gimel. Look at Samach Gimel. The Das HaRambam, the Ramayim Shuvim Ad Rubo, Daf Kekosher. That the Rambam and the Ravid both hold that the same limitation of Ad Rubo applies even to Mayim Shuvim. So that means that even by Mayim Shuvim, you can't just... You have to have 21 saw of the original. It's converted. Some of the poskim Rishonim seem to say it's a din d'rabban, that we don't want your mikvah, even though any time you put in the mayim shuvim, it was already converted. So it should be good. But midrabanan, we want that there should be at least 21 saw of the real deal. Now, according to Shulchan Aruch, we don't have that such a thing. But with mayim shuvim, you do it all. But you're saying in the gesham, if you do it enough days, how much real gesham do you have left? So if you hold like the mechaber, it's not a problem. But if you hold like the shach. Then even by Mayim Shuvim, we want to have the original. At least 20 rove of the original. Oh, so basically, another big concern in Hilchos Mikvos is to put the Shach of Sifkot and Samach Gimel together with Kuf Yud Beis. Because, see, if we would follow the Mechaber, then just plug up the hole right away, and then, like, say, by Hashakah, say. And then you have your pristine thing. How much are you going to lose in a second that you did the Hashakah? But we're machmir, like the Shach, to keep it open. So that means any woman that came into the mikvah, there's displacement from, the whole body comes in, so it's going to be a displacement, right? And if you hold like this Shach, then after a while, you're not going to have rove anymore. And that applies even to Shuvim. And especially by Hashaka, it's going to be even quicker that you're going to lose your rove. And even by Zriya, but even by Hashaka, see, if you machmir for both shachs, which the minhag is to be machmir for both shachs, to keep the hole open, and to be machmir that you need the original Geshamim, at least Rov, so then we have a problem. So what do we do for that? So again, the Mechaber is not Machmir in either of these things. The Mechaber says you can keep it closed, and even if you kept it open, it doesn't matter, because Shuvim, once a Shuvim was Hukshar, so it doesn't matter. So there's the Rebbe, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Sholem Baer, the fifth Rebbe. He came up with an Eitzah to revolutionize mikveh building. Revolutionize mikveh building and to solve this problem of what's called Noson Sov and Nakal Sa, and to make everything good in life. And this is called, I'm going to tell you what his Eitzah was. And this is called the Lubavitch, the Chabad Mikvah. And as Rav Nachum Rosenberg, who's come here in the past, says, this is like the easiest mikvah to build. And it's probably the cheapest mikvah he sells to build. And it deals with this problem. This is what his Eitzah was, the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab said, I have an idea. He says, this is the way you should build a mikvah. Dig a hole in the ground, have it rain, have your 40 saw, then build a floor, put a hole in the floor, and then put the tap water on top of the floor. So the hashaka, instead of the hashaka being what? Side to side, the hashaka is one on top of the other. Now, what does he gain by that? What he gains by that is that the rainwater is usually cold. The tap water, the way we build mikvahs today, is heated. So the heat rises, kayadua. So then, the amount of intermingling of the waters, even though the hole will be not as much, or we take a greater amount of time for them to be really. So therefore, do the hashaka, what we call bor al gabe bor, and that was his eitzah to do. And that's a picture here on page 50. And I think the minhag also is they make two holes, because they're afraid, make one hole, the person could be stepping on the hole, when he's going to the mikvah and to stop the hashaka. But you make two holes far apart, so then you always have one hole that's. So that's what the Rebbe Rashab said on page 50. So you have the nekev, and then you have the megishamim on bays in the bottom, underneath. And this was his eitzah of solving the problem. Now, just like everything in life, there's always a controversy about everything. So, what was the controversy about this eitzah? So I'll tell you. The controversy about this eitzah revolved around a Mishnah. In Taurus, on page 10. One word, katafris. Katafris, ramashke tofe, einam chibur. So, what is a katafris? So this is. A kataphras is a slope. Okay? A kataphras is a slope. So if you have water going on a slope, so the water is not considered connected because it's on a slope. So anything on a slope is not considered connected. So those that argued with the Rebbe Rashab were going to say, hey, you had this eitzah to get in the chumrah of the shach, the two shachs, right? To leave it open and to make sure we get the original thing. But now you caused a bigger problem. Because maybe your whole hashaka was no good. Because maybe hashaka can't be one on top of the other. Why? Because if katafris is no good, that's a slope. So a 90 degree angle, that's the biggest slope you can possibly have. So basically, maybe your whole chibur is now a katafris, and therefore you messed up. So you try to get in a chumrah, and now you messed up the whole thing. Because now your whole chibur is no good, so then the tap water that you got in wasn't huksha. And now you messed up the whole thing. So you're looking to do a chumrah, and you messed up in the igardin. That's what some wanted to claim. So the simple response of the Rashab, I mean, the Rashab, believe me, he knew this Mishnah also, is like this. That Mishnah is talking about running water on a slope. Because if you have, say, a slope, and then you have like ditches in the slope, and one has 20 saw, one has 40 saw, one has 20 saw, and then not each one has enough. So you have water going down. Is that a chibur to connect the different mikvos? So if it's on a slope, but it means it's running water on the slope, so then that's not won't connect the various pockets of water. But if the water is stationary, so then that's not a din of katafris, what we call a katafris bashborin. That's not a din of a katafris. That's not it. That's fine. That's kosher. So that's not a din of katafris. So mamela, it wouldn't be a problem. And that's so you know. So now Chabad mikvos are very common. You know, all over the country, there's Chabad mikvos, and those are, I believe that they're kosher lechatchila. I know there's some rabbanim say, oh, if she has a tefillah on Friday night, then she can use the Chabad mikvah. But if not, no, I don't go for that. Meaning, if it's good Friday night, it's good Tuesday night. If it's not good Tuesday night, it's not good Friday night. You understand? There's no, you know, because sometimes you have places where it's too far to go out to the mikveh, so they have a smaller mikveh, and sometimes it might be a Chabad mikveh closer by, and people use that for, you know, some shtiblach, whatever. They'll have a Friday night mikveh for women, and it might be sometimes built this way, because it's much easier to build this mikveh, because you only have to have one cavity in the ground. You don't have to have different compartments, and it's easy, and it's cheaper, and that's why a lot of times. But you know what happens in life with all the controversy that ensued about Chabad in general, you know, in terms of messiness and other things. So the mikveh got swept up in this thing also. And you know how things get swept up and things like that. But, you know, it's still, you know. So in Chabad people, they want a dafka have this mikveh. They don't want to use a mikveh that doesn't have, that doesn't have a bor gabi bor. So a lot of times in contemporary mikvos, we do is we'll do a bor gabi bor b'minatzat. In other words, not underneath the bor tvila, but underneath the bor hashaka. So even because you see, if you do it underneath the bor tvila, and if it's technically not good, if you want to be choshish that it's not good, then you have a shayla of a daraisa on the people on top. But if you do it minat tzad, it's only to be machshir, say the hashaka or the zriya on the tzad that doesn't lose its original water, which is only a chashash drabanon. And the rash, there's a rash that says that efshar, that katafish lo havi chibur is only magabe daraisa, is not magabe drabanons. So if it's minat tzad, it's only to save the issue of the pristine water of Nosan Sovinatl, so it was only a drabanon. So in many communities today, in the big communities, they'll do a bor tvila and a bor zriya and a bor hashaka, and they'll make one of them, either hashaka or the tvila, they'll do that bor al gabi bor, but not underneath the bor tvila. But Chabad mikveh, it's underneath dafka the bor tvila, that they have the hashaka going on from underneath. You know, just like everything else in Judaism, there was a lot of machlokas and fights about people who dafka wanted it or dafka didn't want it, and you know, every area of halacha had its controversies and its disputes and its things like that. There is a tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote. Again, you know, there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote on page 41. The tshuva was written to Rav Ruderman of Ne'er Yisrael. And it was written about his Talmud, Rav Nochum Rabinovich, who is the Rosh Hashiva in Ma'aleh Adumim. Who was then, I once had a discussion with him, with Nachum Rabinovich, about this tshuva. I think he told me he was the Rav in South Carolina at the time. He was around. Lord Sachs is a Talmud of Nachum Rabinovich. So, Rabbi Hurt, a long time ago, used to have this idea that he would bring in guest speakers for smicha students. Basically, he would arrange that we would daven like 6:30 in the morning. We'd be finished by 7:15, and the guest speaker would speak like 7:15 in the morning. So this way, when Shter, the Seder, and this, and we had breakfast, and he had Rav Nochum Rabinovich was the guest speaker, so he invited me to come when he had Rav Nochum Rabinovich. So I got to speak to him. So we spoke about this tshuva when he was the Rav in South Carolina. So, and he's the Talmud of Rav Ruderman. So what was the question he asked? The question was, he says, how does a bor zriya work? So I told you how it works, right? The water, first have the rainwater, and then but the problem he had was, when the tap water is coming in onto the rainwater, so at that point the rainwater is in a state of movement, right? So it's zechila, and it's rainwater, So it's a pasul mikveh at that point. So how does the whole heksha work? But you see, if you have a bor hashaka, then the two are stagnant, then they just meet in the middle in the hole. But if it's a bor zariah, at the time that the rainwater, that the tap water is coming in above the rainwater, so everything now is in a state of movement. So how does it work? That was the kasha. Because to be machshir one mikveh has to be kosher, machshir the other mikveh. But if this mikveh is the state of movement at the time, so then this mikveh is a zochel at the time. Because what's going on? Water's flowing in and flowing out. It's flowing in and flowing out. Right? That's what's happening now.
That's absurd for the. By a river, if I have a river that's moving, it's rain, and it stops.
But this is make shaman, so it has.
So I'm talking about rainwater from moving. If it's you could have a similar type of thing. Once the soul stops, who says this soul of theirs? Mayim shuvim we're worried about. So we take away mayim shuvim, and maybe that once it stops, it's not a soul; it's a pagan, so to speak.
Okay, so one second. So. So Rav Moshe said that it's a very nice kasha, but it's a Mishnah. It's a Beferish Mishnah, Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. I must have Xeroxed it here. Yeah, on page. Here, page 28, is the Beferish Mishnah. So, whatever you want to say to me, I have a Beferish Mishnah that Bor Zariah works. What does it say in the Mishnah? Page 28, Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. Mitarnas Hamikveh Al Yom Natachton. Here, look at the end of the Mishnah. Hayyeb Elyon Arboim Sov Natachton and Klum Malay Bekosev Venosin Le Elyon and Sheyerdu Natachton Arboim Sov. Whereas, if you have a slope and you have two holes in the ground and you have make a shaman and you want to make another mikveh next to it, so you take a barrel and you pour the mayim shuvim into the mikveh and then it'll overflow into the next mikveh. So it's a beferish mishnah. Oh, your kasha is still a kasha in Lundus, but it's a mishnah. So in other words Bor Zariah is a mishnah. So what's the answer? So Rav Moshe gives a lamdash hagdora, and again, not everyone agrees with him. But this is what he says. He says, what's the kasha? It's a mishnah says it's good. So what's your problem? So he says. So Rav Moshe says the answer must be that the psul zchila is not in the shei mikvah; it's only in the ma'aseh tefila. So, like Rav Shechter says, so mimeilawat. If at the time of the tefillah, it can't be zochel, but now it's a shame, but it's not a psul in the etzem mikvah. It's only psul in the ma'aseh tefillah. So the shame mikvah you have now, you have 40 tzav make shum. So even though and now it's moving, but it's hukshar because the psul zchilah is only it can't be zochel at the time of the tefillah. It's a psul in the ma'aseh tefillah. It's not a psul in the shame mikvah. So Mimela, and that's how he says that must be pshat in this Mishnah, and Mimela, the Bor Zariah is okay. That's Rav Moshe. Other Achronim, even though Rav Moshe says it's simple, other Achronim say no. Maybe the pshat, maybe you have to learn a different pshat in the Mishnah. Maybe the pshat in the Mishnah is that you have water in the pit, and then you fill it up, and it's stationary. And then later, it moves over. You understand? In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean what you, in other words, you dug from the pit and you caused it. But in other words, maybe it's not shot that it was. In other words, it could be you had a very big pit, a long pit, and you put the you have the mega shaman there. Then you have the mayim shuvim on top, and it didn't. In the beginning, it just stayed there, and then you dug out. And then it flow into the next one. But in a Hanami, maybe it had to be in the state of stagnant for it to happen, and it wouldn't be a raya from this Mishnah. Rav Moshe says mehechi tasi that that's the case in the Mishnah. You know, it's too much of an ukimta. And the pashut in the Mishnah is that you're just pouring and it flows over, simple, and therefore that's what the Mishnah is saying. So you have to give a svara. So he gives a svara, and that's the answer to the question. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so these are some of the basic yesodos of the mikvos, of the concept of a mikvah and a mayan, and the concept of yomim is kemayan, the concept of nahros, the psul zchila, mayim shuvim, what tashaka, what zriya, what these things are, and the idea of nosens of anotelsa, the idea whether Habshach has to be tmidis or not, and those things all put together, and that's the basic idea of the construction of modern day mikvahs. Yeah.
A regular standard mikvah today looks like the one on 49 with the three pits.
Yeah, so a regular standard mikvah today, if you're in a regular Orthodox community, has a hashaka, a zriya, and a tefillah, and there's a bor agabe bor on one of them. Maybe underneath the hashak or the zriya, one they may get they put a thing in the middle to make it double. But right, so 49, that's what we have today. Meaning in a big community. I'm not saying like some community in that can't afford, because this mikveh is very very expensive in this day. So if you're in a regular community of with many Jews, you could probably assume that that's probably how it's. Usually built today in the big communities in the tri-state area, making the mikvos like this today. Yeah. Yeah.
Why Chabad mikvos that on top of the bor, not the bor hashaka?
No, because they want to do the hashaka. Okay, we'll talk.